There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
This is the Mighty Manfred again with your coolest conversations podcast in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Thanks for listening, and remember to follow and subscribe, rate and review. Today I'm joined by Zuzu Mansour, the dynamic lead singer and frontwoman in the Philadelphia-based band Soraya. Their new digital single is called Dangerous. It's a former Coolest Song of the Week, and it's on their upcoming album Dig Your Roots, due out Friday, March the 13th on Wicked Cool Records. We'll take a listen to some of the track now, and then I'll check in with Zuzu, and we'll talk about the cut and the album on your Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage. Conversations time at Little Steven's Underground Garage, and this is the Mighty Manfred with you. My guest today is Zuzu Mansour, front woman for Philadelphia's Soraya. Hey Zuzu, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Manfred?
Oh, I'm doing excellent. Very happy to chat with you again. Now,
me too.
New digital single Dangerous is this week's coolest song in the world. My notes say that you and guitar player Mike Reisman wrote it. How did that baby get birthed? How'd the song come together and the inspiration and all that good stuff?
Honestly, we were listening to a lot of music as this was towards the end of our writing for the album. It was one of the last two songs written for the record. And I guess it was early, it was like January of last year. And I'd been listening to like some Jet and like, you know, just some like garage rock from the early 2000s. I was like, man, I love that like eruption of emotion that comes in the front end of the song or like somewhere in the middle. So we deliberately wanted to do that in this song. I just wanted a kind of vocal, like a little more spoken, a little more attitude, less melody, I guess. So yeah. The verses, I rewrote the verses a few times because we had collaborated a couple times and I was going for a melody in some parts. And anyway, so, you know, a little more attitude, a little more like directly talking to someone. And that's kind of what we were hoping for. And I listened to songs like A Charmer by the Kings of Leon and stuff like that. And I tried to get that same idea down. So it was a little more deliberate and intentional when we were writing this song. Like we really wanted to get like that vibe going of like, you know, like that garage rock, like in your face, raw, like aggressive and sexy kind of thing. And so I just took this topic and we just wrote it. And then we had, when we came together is when we had the ideas for the background vocals kind of being answers to the main vocal and being more of the melody of the chorus. Yeah. So that's kind of like he writes, I write, then we get together a couple times, more magic happens, I think. Yeah.
Well, how dangerous is too dangerous? You were touching on this. I think some danger is a little sexy, right? But then Fatal Attraction, that's kind of too much.
Yeah, well, there's a fine line. That's why, like, in the one lyric I said, you know, you always cross the line. Like, at some point, you know, that like, in real relationships, that can't, you know, work long term anyway, right? But it's the idea of that newness and so, you know, the forbidden, like, you know, it's human nature to go after what's forbidden. So it's sexy, it's dangerous, it's cool. Yeah.
Well, when and where did you guys record it?
In New York, we've been going to Renegade Studios with Jeff Sanoff, who brought the whole, like, and also Steven Van Zandt, obviously. He gave us notes on the song after we demoed it, you know, and then when we got in with Jeff Sanoff, he added some magic, too. Like, a lot of that second guitar part and the second half of the verse, you know, all that stuff was added once we got in the studio with Jeff. So in New York City, at Renegade Nation, we did it again, just like Dead Reckoning.
So the last album, Dead Reckoning, that's from 2017, had a couple of singles since then, including Still I Rise and Evergreen. I think those are going to be included on the upcoming album. You've alluded to it, the new album, Dig Your Roots. Did you record Dangerous, the rest of the album? All those songs were recorded at the same time.
Yes. Yep.
So the new album due out Friday, March the 13th, our lucky day. And I was seeing something online through your Facebook page, something about pre-orders. Help me out here. Something about you were making voodoo dolls and including voodoo dolls in the pre-orders. Is that right?
Yeah, that is true. Here's the thing is we couldn't really find a way to tie it in. I like to tie things into the record somehow. It's there was no tie-in at all. So when our single Love Like Voodoo came out in 13, we did a bunch of voodoo dolls. Me and a friend of mine, this woman, Kat Porterfield, she made the voodoo dolls, and she said, you should sell these, with the single. And they just went, really fast. And she's like, hey, I still have them in my basement. I probably have the skeletons for a few more. And I was like, let's do the voodoo dolls again, because people really like them. And then I feel the band handmade. So I'm like, it's this little piece of us that kind of goes along with it. And I actually, for a second this morning, I was taking a run and I thought to myself, man, I guess some of my juju's in there. I hope people don't stab it or anything, But then I was like, I don't believe that anyway. So it's all good. It's all good. But yeah, it's fun and it just is a little more personal. And I felt I'm grateful for all the things that have happened for us in the past 2 years. So it's just a way of giving back and also still being creative in a different way. So we're kind of happy to do it.
Well, let me ask a little bit more about the voodoo. Is that like a Louisiana or New Orleans voodoo, or is it more of a Caribbean voodoo thing?
No, it's definitely a New Orleans voodoo. You know why, man, friend? Because
tell me.
I went to New Orleans, and I love New Orleans so much. There's just an energy to it. I'm sure you felt it. It's just an energy to that place that's really unique and different than pretty much anywhere else we've toured. And I definitely think our voodoo dolls are from New Orleans, that whole New Orleans voodoo, the alligator claw kind of voodoo, you know what I mean? A little bit creepy, but more just magic. I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore, but kind of like that.
Very cool. Now, we talked about your guitar player, Mike Reisman, and you wrote a song with him. I know he's not part of the band, an ongoing touring player, at least, but is he playing on Dangerous? Is that correct?
Yeah, he did actually. When the decision was made that he, couldn't continue because we were doing more and more, and he just couldn't make that commitment, is really what was at the heart of it. Which is fine; it happens. But we had already written the album. We had already recorded most of the album. Mm-hmm. He just had some guitar parts left. So there was no sense in bringing someone new in just for the sake of Mike is a huge part of this band and what we grew into. We were grateful for the time we had together. And, he still stays in touch. And he played a few shows at the end of the year with us, even though he left midsummer. It's good. It wouldn't have made sense to bring anyone else on that record because he is so much a part of that record and the mm-hmm. recording process and the guitar sound and working with Jeff like he did. So, he finished the record and followed through and all the commitments, and we're really thrilled with it. He's still on the back picture of the record because he was on the record. So, but going forward, Nick, who very much owned the sound that we have, he didn't mm-hmm. try to change it. He didn't try to add to it, which, was rare. Because we auditioned a lot of people for that role, and it's a really important role in our band. So when he came in, he just was he was just really honorable and respectful of what we'd already accomplished. He didn't try to like kind of impose his will on it, which, you know, that's a humble player that can do that. Yeah. But very grateful for Mike and the songs we wrote together. I'm really proud of, but you know, it's rock and roll.
And so you mentioned Nick, and we're talking about the new guitar player, Nick Sedicious. Yes. So you mentioned having auditioned a bunch of guys and then you settled on Nick.
Well, we auditioned a bunch of guys. We got one guy. He didn't last in the tour very long. You know, it's not, you know, a lot of people think it's one thing and then when they get on the road, it's another. And so we knew it wasn't going to be an easy spot to fill. And I didn't have an expectation that we'd fill it fast. But Nick came along in November, and immediately after auditioning people all summer and then going the road with a guy that we didn't really know in the fall and being like, you know, kind of just tired and broken. And he came in, he was our first audition of the second round, and I was like, that's the guy, like, you know what I mean? I just like, you just know. And then, you know, I was like, let's play a bunch of shows first and make sure, you know. And then we did, and so then we were really comfortable, you know, because I have like a respect for Soraya, you know, aside from my involvement in it. Like, I just want to do the right thing for it. So you know, I didn't want to just throw somebody in there either. That, you know, it has to be a long term commitments. But yeah, he, once he came in and he started playing, I had him learn three songs just like everybody else.
Yeah.
As soon as he played, I was like, there's something special there. Yeah. So I was thrilled. Yeah.
Were you guys in the band already familiar with Nick, or did he just come out of the woodwork?
No, actually, Brianna Siggs, our drummer, she was in the scene for a while before joining us. And she, as a musician, just playing with a lot of different bands and a lot of different people, a session player. And she knows a lot of people, a lot of musicians. And I, you know, that's always, she's happy to help in that area. And she's really, again, respectful of the music. So she's like, oh, I know this guy. So she wrote him, and he was open to it. It's usually, we try to do a little more in-house, like things, when things like that happen, you know, before we even look anywhere else. So yeah, he definitely had worked with Brianna before.
So I've seen that your next gig is Tuesday, February the 4th at the Anchor Rock Club in Atlantic City.
That's the next gig. We took a lot of January off. We're writing again for the next thing. And also just learning some new covers and stuff, just kind of getting a little like shaken off the rest of all the songs we've been doing over and over. And February, we hit hard again. February 4th starts our residency at Anchor Rock Club in Atlantic City. And then we're just doing a lot of weekend touring that month. And then we hit the road in early March.
Right. In March, they're heading back to the West Coast. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I love going West Coast.
The new album is coming out on the 13th. And is that when you'll be out on the West Coast, March the 13th, around that time?
Yeah, yeah. Our actual release show is in Las Vegas, and we've never played Las Vegas before. And we're really excited because we've wanted to play Vegas for a long time, but the gigs just were never right. You know what I mean? And this one just seemed really right. And I was like, we're out there anyway. Let's hit Vegas for a release show. And then we're going to do our hometown release show in Philly on the 20th of that month, too. And, but yeah, I'm really excited about it, actually. Personally, just really excited to play in Vegas.
I know rock critic David Frick is a big fan of y'all's. He debuted Dangerous on his radio show on Sirius. Have you ever had a chance to hang out with him some?
Yeah, you know, it's the weirdest thing, man. When we released the Radio Sister, you guys were playing it a lot, and his wife heard it. On his wife Susan heard it on Little Steven, the syndicated show.
Right.
And so she's like, you've got to hear this band. So I get a contact email to our website, David Frick, senior writer at Rolling Stone magazine. I would like all of your back catalog. And I'm like, what is this? Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, this is a joke, right? Because, you know, at this point, like, you know, it wasn't like we were had massive exposure or anything. It was, you know, we had good exposure. So I just thought that was weird that out of the blue. But it was him. And he loved Radio Sister, and he loved the story of the song. And he ended up coming to a lot of our shows in like 2016, 2017. And then just recently he came and saw us in New York. He always comes to our New York shows. And he usually comes with his wife too. But he, you know, in 17, he came to probably like five or six of our New York shows. Yeah. He's a fan. And he always says that. He's like, I'm a fan. I'm a fan of what you guys do. I love your live show. And, you know, I love your music and always support you. So, I mean, that's a good feeling, you know. It's definitely validating.
Absolutely.
That's not always the response, Manfred, so.
So the 2018 single, Still I Rise, that's going to be on the new album. I noticed we're saying that was co-written with Stephen, Little Stephen. Are any of the other tracks on the upcoming album written by him or with him?
Well, Darkness Is My Only Candle is a song that Travis Smith and I co-wrote, one of the very first songs for the record. And Stephen was in the office that day when we were recording in the studio, and we had a rough time with the bridge of that song. He came in and rewrote the bridge, the background vocals, the guitar parts, literally just came in and immediately he just heard it. And so he co-wrote Darkness with us kind of in the studio when it was already, you know, not in the actual sitting down writing process, but when we went back into the studio with it, he wrote it there. Where it was Still I Rise, we sat down deliberately and wrote a song, you know. So yeah, he definitely co-wrote Darkness. I think that's the only one aside from Still I Rise on this record. And then the last record had Why on it, so that he wrote. So he's always been a part of it. It's nice, part of our albums.
Very cool. Well, Zuzu, thanks so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Manfred.
Well, let's go out with your collaboration there with Stephen, Still I Rise, and that'll help whet our appetite for the upcoming album, Dig Your Roots. So it's Soraya here in Little Stephen's Underground Garage. It's a 2018 single from the Philadelphia band Soraya, and it's set to be included on the band's upcoming album, Dig Your Roots, due out Friday, March the 13th on Wicked Cool Records. This is the Mighty Manfred, and thanks again to the band's lead singer, frontwoman Zuzu Mansour, for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations, and thanks also to Olivia Callahan for producing our podcast. Be sure and catch next week's interview when I'll speak with Cole Alexander, one of the founding members of the Black Lips. That's your next Coolest Conversations, presented by Hard Rock in Little Stephen's Underground Garage.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.